Have I told you the story about the preacher and the brand new building that they were under construction? Some of you probably heard it. Well, let me tell it anyway. There was this preacher and his church. They were building a brand new sanctuary, and the preacher was real nervous about it, and he was having trouble with it. And so the church board got together, and they decided that they were going to do something to help him out a little bit. And what they decided to do was to send him to Israel for 3 months. Now, if you've been to Israel, you know that that's a great place to go. And while he was gone to Israel, they would build the building. Well, you know, 3 months in Israel, all right. And he left. And they got busy and they built the building. Well, the night he was supposed to come back was Saturday night, and by prearrangement, he decided to meet with the building committee chairperson at the new church so that he could see what they had built and where he was going to be preaching the next morning. And he got there in the evening, and he walked in the back door, and it was one of these long, thin churches with pews down the middle with a center aisle and two outside aisles. But when he got there, he looked, and they turned all the lights on, and all he saw was empty floor. And right at the very back, there was two pews, one on the left and one on the right. And he's kind of wondering about this, more than a little bit of wondering about this, what's going on. And he starts to raise an objection to the building committee chairperson. He says, no, wait a minute. And he reaches up and he punches a button. And gears mesh, pulleys pull, and the pews that are there slide down to the very front. And two more pews pop up. And he said, wonderful, marvelous. Well, the next morning they came, and he came a little early. He wanted to see this in action. And as people walked in the back door of the church, there was only one pew to sit in. And so they sat down, and a hand went up, and a button was pushed, and the gears meshed, and the pulleys pulled, and that seat rolled all the way down to the front, and a new one popped up, waiting for the next group of people to come in. And he said, wonderful, marvelous. Well, they watched it, and the church filled up because everybody knew that he was back from the Holy Land. They wanted it in, and row by row by row, everybody was down front. There's nobody sitting in the back. And he got up there, and he started to preach. Now, he'd been in Israel for 3 months. 1 week will do it to you. I mean, you're ready. You're ready to preach in a week. But he'd been there 3 months, and he was brimming over. He had more stories, more stuff to tell than you could stuff in a month, let alone a 20-minute sermon. And so he tended to go over a little bit. And it got to be noon. And it got to be 10 after noon. And it got to be quarter after noon. And in the back, a hand went up. A button was pushed. The gears went in, the pulleys pulled, and the pulpit sank out of sight. And the congregation together said, wonderful, marvelous. Last week, we talked about the cost of discipleship. We talked about being a disciple of Jesus Christ and coming to Him. We talked about commitment and what it meant to be a disciple, committing ourselves to something bigger than ourselves, to God's way in the world, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We talked about how He calls us to be more than ourselves, do things His way, to be a learner, a student, no matter what the cost may be. Now, some people may say that they don't know anything about a call from Christ. I mean, they haven't heard God call them to do anything. Certainly not to be a preacher or something like that, but let alone that, they just don't know that the God has called them. They'd like it. They wouldn't mind it. They would think it'd be a good thing to do, but it just never happens. So how do we hear the call of God in the world that we're living in? Well, one way that we do is by becoming a fool for Christ. Not foolish, you understand. I'm not talking about being foolish. Foolish is believing in anything and everything, and it doesn't really matter. What you believe in it. Being foolish is planning your retirement based on winning the Powerball lottery. or on finding a lamp in the sand and rubbing it and a genie popping out. That's foolish. I'm talking about being a fool for Christ. We can hear the call of God when we're willing to become a fool. We can hear the call of God when we stop listening, according to Paul anyway, when we stop listening to the world around us. Now, this is not to say that the world isn't a very wise place. You can learn a lot from the world, can't you? I mean, all you have to do is turn on the television, right? Lying, cheating, death, danger, anger, hate, divorce, sex, it's all there. You can learn all that kind of stuff in nothing flat. And you know that the wisdom of the world is going to do you all kinds of good. All those things are indispensable urban needs and urban resources. Your life will be so much better because of them. The world will also teach you how to do business. What you do is you find yourself a little company that's doing a pretty good job, that's expanded out a little bit and they're trying new things. And you go in and you buy the company, and then you fire all the employees, and you sell off all the different pieces of the company and give yourself a $100 million bonus. It's not hard to do business in a world like that. This is a world that makes so much sense with its astrology, with the pyramids, with ethnic cleansing and genocide, where Jews kill Muslims, Muslims kill Christians, and Christians kill Jews. This is a world where everybody is doing it, where everybody is participating in the lottery, where everybody is sharing the good news that they're going to be a winner someday, where everybody runs red lights and cheats on their taxes and commits adultery and lies and cheats and steals and all the rest of those things, and if they can do it, why can't I? We can hear the word of God, the call of God in our lives, and we stop listening to the call of the world in our lives. We can hear God's call in our lives when we stop trying to make sense of this world and doing the sensible thing that the world calls us to do. Paul tells us that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the earth. The sensible thing told the rich young ruler to turn around and walk away and leave God and salvation behind. The sensible thing told the farmer to tear down his old barns and build bigger barns so that he could store his crops, not knowing that very night his soul would be required of him. The smart thing tells Pilate that he can allow the execution of Jesus because it is politically expedient. The smart thing says that the cross is foolish, that it's stupid to allow yourself to be hung on a cross when you could call down the angels of God and escape from that kind of painful death. The smart thing says that grace is a joke, that people aren't going to put you first. The people aren't going to care about you one little bit. They're going to care about themselves. And the only thing that they want out of you is something for them. There's no grace. The smart thing says that love is dumb. I mean, after all, if you love somebody, if you commit yourself to them, if you give yourself to them, if you share yourself with them, if you put your heart in their hands at their disposal and they crush it, if you love someone enough, and they hurt you, can you live? If you don't love, then you're okay. The smart thing to do is not to give yourself to somebody else at all. A man by the name of Marshall McLuhan said, I will see it when I believe it. We can hear the Word of God if we are open to His calling in our lives. But to be open to His calling, we have to see it before we believe it. Not believe it before we see it. We have to be able to see it before we believe it. We have to see God's calling in our lives. When we acknowledge God's role in our life, when we allow Him to come into our lives and order our lives in the way that He would have us to go, When we are willing to do what God wants us to do first, then we can finally get the joke. We can understand God's guidance, God's role in our lives. And we begin to change our lives and become new people. Ultimately, though, we can hear the call of God in our lives because it's already in us. Right here, right now. God is calling you. The promise is real. The assurance is yours that God's presence is one among you. Part of the joke is that it's not what you do or who you are that God is interested. God's not interested in what you do. God's not interested in thousands of rams or rivers of oil or the fruit of your body for the sake of your sin. God's not interested in your firstborn. God is interested in transformation. God is interested in changed lives, people who are different because they have heard the call of God in their lives. As Paul says, we who are being saved. We who are being saved in process. We who are being transformed by the grace and the will of God. The foolishness of the scriptures is it's not what you do. It's not your works that matter. But it's what God has already done in Jesus Christ to show His love for each and every one of you. God sent His Son to die for you while you were yet a sinner. Before you ever confessed, before you knew God, He knew you and loved you. The call is ours. It's only up to us to decide whether or not we're going to do what Christ has called us to do. The question is not, do you have a call? The question is, what are you going to do with the call you got? Are you going to accept the call, the discipleship that God has put on each and every one of us? Are you going to acknowledge His call to peace and love and joy? Are you going to be a fool for Christ? There's a story. About a God who loved His creation so much that He is willing to send His only begotten Son to live and to die for their sins so that they could have the promise of eternal life. Have you heard that one? It's a great story. It's a great joke. I'll have to tell it to you one day.